And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Trial of the Two Mothers, was written by Johanna Johnston and is one of a series dramatizing famous biblical trials. Trial of the Two Mothers. You know about it, of course. Everyone does. Solomon made many judgments in his time, but of them all, his judgment in that trial was the most famous. Even when that strange, subtle mind of his took its most daring leaps, he had always looked first at the facts I had gathered. That is, he always had in all the cases before this one. And that was one of the reasons I was baffled and angered by his judgment. He had paid no heed to any of my suggestions about how facts could be discovered. Then there was another reason I was troubled by that judgment. It had to do with my son, Hesse.
Oh, Father, I am sorry. The pen slipped in my hand. The whole sentence is blotted.
His pen had slipped. And he was training to be a scribe for the king himself. What was I to do with the boy? My worry, my heartache over Hesse were part of that trial, too. Distracting me, making me feel that for once I was not seeking facts for the king as carefully as I should.
Must I do it over, Father? It is so late, and my fingers are numb from writing all day.
Of course he had to do it over. It did not matter that his record of the proceedings was not used. Elihoreph and I wrote the records that were kept on file, but Hesse had to learn. He had to learn if we both sat up past midnight and woke dazed and sluggish the next day. So that night, as so many nights, I sat at the table across from him, gave him a fresh sheet of parchment, and insisted. I should have been thinking about the trial instead.
Oh, Father, it is not that I want to blot or misspell or skip over words. It's simply that I have no talent for this work. Father, let me go to Siva's farm as he has asked. Let me do the kind of work I can do. I'm not lazy.
You can do this work. You can and will. You are going to be a scribe, Hesed. A scribe as I am, carrying on the tradition and prestige of our family, not a farmer. Now, begin. Benaiah, the king's counselor, opened the trial.
You have heard the charge, Your Majesty. The two women, Miriamne and Alona, currently residing in the same lodging house in this city, are disputing as to which is the mother of a certain infant child. Miriamne charges that he is hers, stolen from her in the night by the defendant, Alona, who holds the child now. She claims that same Alona herself had an infant child of the same age and sex, but rolled upon it in the night and smothered it. In her shock and grief, she brought the dead infant to Miriamne's room and exchanged it for the living infant in Miriamne's bed. This is the charge.
It is true! I have told you!
No, look, the curl of his ear.
Look, she's made him cry. Get her away.
Oh!
And now, silence! The king would speak.
Yes, thank you, Benaiah. We have heard the charge. Let us proceed to the witnesses. Whatever persons may shed some light on this matter. What of the child's father, for instance?
There is no help to be had there, Your Majesty. The woman, Miriamne, is a widow, her husband having died shortly before her child's birth. The husband of the woman, Alona, has been away with Your Majesty's forces in Tyre since before the birth of Alona's child.
I see. Well, there are other people, surely, who are acquainted with one or another of the women and their infants?
There is but one, Your Majesty. A certain Jacinta, in whose home both women have been living since before the births of their children. Even she appears to know very little that is helpful.
Let us listen to the woman, Jacinta.
Jacinta, please. Step up before the throne.
Your Majesty?
Yes. Jacinta, you know these two women, Ilona and Mariamne?
Oh, that I do, Your Majesty. And had I known there would be such wranglings as this, I would have thought twice before I took pity on either of them 3 months ago. I was sorry for them then, you understand. Two women alone, giving birth to their firstborn alone. Well, I'm a widow myself, living alone, so I opened my doors to them. But this is what comes of trying to be helpful. You're dragged into other people's trouble.
Yes, I am sure the situation has presented certain inconveniences to you, but tell me, both of these women did indeed have infant children?
But, oh, that they did. Both were delivered the same day, the same hour almost. Can you imagine it? Both of them calling to me. Come here, please. No, 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 no. Help me, please. Well, I'm willing to help, heaven knows, but taking them in, I had no idea I was turning myself into a midwife, a serving maid, and who knows what. I'm not strong any longer.
All right, woman. Answer only the questions the king asks of you. There were two infant children.
Yes, there were. Two babes who squalled night and
squalled? Day. My child is an angel.
Squalled? My child never squalled.
Silence!
Listen, does he cry now?
There must be silence.
Yes, well, we'll pass over the question of how much the infants cried. You saw both babies, Jacinta?
Saw them, to be sure I saw them. Who else was there to bathe them and clothe them but me?
Then you can look at the infant in the defendant's arms and tell me if it indeed is the same infant of which she was delivered.
The same? Well, they all look alike, and besides, my back was killing me. I only knew I looked at two ugly newborn
babies. Oh, no, what is she saying? Ugly! Ugly.
No, but
Jacinta, surely you noticed some differences between the children? Perhaps one had a birthmark.
Well, not that I noticed. I tell you, all new babies look alike, wrinkled and ugly.
I see. Then you cannot help us make a judgment in that way. Very well. Another question, Jacinta. The mother, Mariamne, claims she was sleeping with her infant in her arms when the other mother, Ilona, came to her room in the night with her dead infant to exchange it for the living one. Now, were you in the house the night that one of the infants died?
Yes, I was, Your Majesty.
Did you hear footsteps from the room of Ilona to the room of Mariamne?
At night I sleep, Your Majesty. I've told you I'm no longer young, and I had no business taking in those two in the beginning. It was only the goodness of my heart.
In other words, you did not hear anything that night?
Nothing. I only know that in the morning I was waked by that one there screaming at the other one, and neither one of them taking any heed of the dead babe, even to bury it decently.
It was her child, Ilona.
No, it
was
for
her to warm it and wrap it for the grave.
It was not mine.
I wanted only to get my own child back. Oh, give him to me. Give him to me.
Oh, don't touch him.
Let me hold him. I can soothe him.
No, I will quiet him. There, there, there. You see, he is quieted. That proves he is mine.
No, it does not prove that, Your Majesty. No, no!
Calm, woman. We do not take it as proof. And you, Jacinta, you have nothing more to say that might help us.
Well, I can tell you this. There is no believing either of them now. They're both half distracted, and if I had known what my goodness and kindness was letting me in for, I would have closed my door in both their faces instead of taking pity on them as I did.
You may go back to your seat now, Jacinta.
Go back to my seat?
That is all. Thank you for your testimony. There are no other witnesses, Benaiah? No one who saw both infants alive and in their mother's arms?
No, Your Majesty. No one. We combed the neighborhood, but it seemed neither woman had left the house from the time of the infants' births. No one had visited them. We have nothing except the word of this woman against the other. Perhaps it was not fitting we should trouble Your Majesty with a case that is not a case, really.
Give me my baby, or I shall kill you!
With my own bare hands, I will strangle you and take my child!
All right, now. Guard!
I'll kill you! Stop! stole my baby and left me with a dead child in my arms. Left me to wake up and think for one awful moment my baby was dead. Dead! I'll kill you!
All right, enough of that, my girl. We have you.
Oh, well, you see, she is crazy. Out of her wits altogether, that is why she claims my child is hers.
I am not crazy. No.
Your Majesty, what is your pleasure in this case? Is the welfare of either of these hysterical women worthy of any more of your Majesty's time and thought? There are other graver cases waiting.
Benaiah, the welfare of the least of my subjects is worthy of whatever time and thought are required to see justice done. And plainly, this matter will need consideration. And meantime, take the two women to separate chambers here in the palace and keep them there separated till I have determined how we can come to a decision.
Very well, Your Majesty.
Guards, this one to one chamber, that one to another. Lock them in.
You let her take my child
with her? It is my child. Of course he goes with me.
Your Majesty?
The child may remain with the woman who holds him until we know more.
All right, move along now, both of you.
But he is mine. Mine!
Well now, Benaiah, Ahijah, and Ahoroth, all my friends of the Sanhedrin.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Your Majesty?
I am not sure. It seemed to me you all looked with a certain impatience at both these women. Let us try to have more sympathy with these unfortunate women. Remember that both are mothers. Both have had infants whom they love dearly. One, through an accident, killed her own child. There is grief in her heart, a distraction of grief that may have led her to steal another's child, or which may be leading her to claim another now.
Your Majesty.
Yes, Benaiah.
The one who held the child, the accused, she seemed far the quietest and calmest. She held the child lovingly. It was the other who appeared to be in a veritable distraction.
And it is your feeling that this distraction is one of grief over the death of her child? You think the other is the real mother?
I merely say the one named Mariamne has a wild, demented air. A threat against the other one do not speak well for.
Your Majesty, forgive me, but this is going by appearances only. We need facts in this case.
Uh-huh. Ahijah, my man of facts. I was waiting for that. And how do you think we may discover facts in this mystery?
Your Majesty, we are seeking to discover proof of our parent-child relationship. Now, there are ways in which such a relationship makes itself clear. There is the matter of resemblance, for instance. My son, Hesed, who is here with me, sitting just behind me. Why, you have only to look at him to know he is my son.
That is right. Hesed is the image of his father. In everything but the way he frowns over his writing.
Hesed is still learning the skill. He will be as swift a scribe as I am soon. The image of his father in that way, too.
Oh, father.
However, the child in question is still an infant, its features unformed. It is impossible to tell if it resembles either woman.
Let the matter be held in abeyance, then, till the child grows older and its features are formed. The husband who still lives may have returned by then also.
Yes, that is right. Perhaps it will be possible to see that the child resembles him in feature or in nature. There are resemblances in nature between a son and father, too, you know.
As your son's nature resembles yours, Ahijah?
What have all these comments on my son to do with the matter at hand, Elhor? We wander from the case at issue. What do you think of waiting till the child has developed in feature and nature before making a decision, Your Majesty?
It is a possibility, of course. Though children do not always follow the pattern of their parents, Ahijah, perhaps Elahoroth is not amiss in pointing that out to you.
I'm afraid I do not understand you, Your Majesty.
You are a man of facts, Ahijah, but sometimes you blind yourself to facts before your face. Your son, Hesed, is a good lad, but will you forgive me, young Hesed, if I sometimes wonder how much you love the scribe's trade?
Your Majesty,
Well, do not blush. There are other things in life to love, and I have seen you in the palace gardens, pulling up a weed, breaking away a branch that needs pruning, showing in all sorts of ways your love of growing things. Ahijah, have you not noticed this in your son? Has he never spoken to you of Wishing he might be a farmer, for instance?
Oh, Your Majesty, I have.
I have told him, Your Majesty, that gardening may indeed be a pleasant hobby for him after he's become an accomplished scribe. But I would not take your time with these private matters. You ask how we might find real proof as to which of the women is true mother of the infant. I have another thought.
Yes.
Blood. Is there not a similarity in the blood between a parent and a child? It seems to me that I have heard the palace physician saying so.
They speculate on it, Ahijah. I am not sure that they have any real proof of it.
Well, there must be some way. Real evidence can be found that links the child to one or the other beyond dispute.
Yes, I should think so. And I think it will be a matter of love.
Love?
But plainly, Your Majesty, they both love the child. One cherishes, one yearns for it.
Yes, Adahorov. And one has the love of a real mother. But how to prove this? I will consider the matter overnight. Perhaps you will all give it some thought. Ahijah, you especially, I would charge with considering how a real parent gives proof of love.
I, Your Majesty? How a real parent gets proof?
That is right. Now, let us go on to the next case.
What had he meant? As a parent, had I not given proof over and over of my love for Hesed? All through his boyhood, had I not spent all my leisure hours teaching him to read and write? Had I not called him in from the garden time and again to give him the learning that would enable him to find a high place worthy of Ahijah's son? Had I not won Solomon's permission to let him serve his apprenticeship as a scribe in the king's own court? I was distracted by the questions in my mind that evening. So it was that the next morning came, and the Sanhedrin assembled again below the lion throne of Solomon. And I had thought of no further ways we might prove which of the two mothers was the real mother.
Then there are no further suggestions, gentlemen?
Only my suggestion, sire, that the whole matter be settled by putting the child in an orphanage or foster home. That might be the fairest all around.
Fairest? To the real mother?
Well, it's...
The blood test could be tried, Your Majesty.
Oh, yes. The blood test. You made no progress with your considerations on how a real parent proves love, Ahijah?
A real parent shows love by doing what is best for his child, Your Majesty.
Oh, yes. Very sound, Ahijah. But best by whose standards?
By everyone's standards. Best.
Best can have many interpretations. What is best for a child may mean what is worst or seems worst to a parent. But real love can accept that. Real love can renounce its own desires completely and, in renouncing, be fulfilled.
I'm afraid I do not understand you.
Perhaps I can show you, Ahijah. Benaiah, you may have the two women brought in.
Very well, Your Majesty.
Naturally, any parent sacrifices a great deal for the welfare of his child. Well, I have sacrificed much for Hesed here.
Yes, I am sure you think you have, Ahijah.
Women, Your Majesty, Ilona and Miriamne.
And the accused has brought the infant with her? Oh, yes, I see she has.
Yes, I have, my darling. I beg her not to hold him so closely. She will smother him as she smothered her own.
Oh, let me hold him. I will show you how to hold him.
All right, no more scenes.
That is right. No more scenes. We are going to settle this matter now, once and for all. I have asked one of the captains of the army to join us this morning. Jeshurun, will you step forward? You were wearing your sword this morning, as I requested. It is well sharpened.
Yes, Your Majesty. Sharp enough to cut a hair in the air.
Very well. Will you stand by that table, please?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Now, Ilona, will you put the baby on the table, please?
Put the baby? But she will take him.
No, a guard will hold her arms. Guard?
She's held, Your Majesty.
Very well. The baby on the table now.
Oh, if Your Majesty insists.
Now, the argument is clear to all men. If two people claim the same land and both seem to have equal rights, the just solution is to divide it. If two people claim the same inheritance and both seem to have equal rights, once again, the just solution is to divide it. Jeshurun, are you ready?
No! No!
What are you saying? What are you planning? Stop! You cannot kill him. Let her have him. He is hers. Hers, do you hear? I give up all claims. Only let him live.
Ah, and you, Ilona, would you say the same rather than have justice done? Jeshurun, raise your sword. Ilona, would you give the child to Mariamne rather than let him drop the sword?
The child is mine. Mine!
Yes. Yes, that is what I said. Only make him put his sword away. Look. Look, the child's hand. He'll be cut. Oh, let me loose! I'll give the baby to him myself. Just let him live.
Oh. All right, guards. Release Mariamne. The child is hers.
This was his judgment. But on what did he base it? What proof had he found in that hysterical cry from an already hysterical woman? One by one, the other members of the Sanhedrin rose to their feet and hurried to congratulate the king on his wisdom. Only I sat still. I and my son, Hesed. I was baffled. I was angry, even. There were no facts here. The woman Solomon had chosen as the mother held the child softly, crooning to it. Why her? I did not understand. I would not understand. All that day, I closed my mind and heart. And then, that evening... And again, your record of the day's proceedings is again a mass of blots and errors, Hesed.
I am sorry, Father. I was trying.
You were trying? Why, a child could do better. And you've been in Solomon's court half a year now. Will I be old and gray before I make you a scribe?
A fresh sheet of parchment. I will copy it over and over again, Father, till it is fair.
Indeed you will. If we both sit here until dawn, you will make a fair... Yes, it... Your hands are trembling.
Trembling? Oh. Well, yes, a little, I guess. But I will try to hold them steady.
Hesed, look at me.
Yes, Father.
Your eyes are full of tears. And your face has a thin look. Thin and sad. You do not look as you did when your mother was alive.
I am older now. I will start copying the parchment now, Father.
No.
Father, what are you doing?
Do I love my son by torturing him? By killing him to make my own dreams come true? No. I tear the parchment. Put down the pen, Hesed. And perhaps tonight you might start packing.
Packing?
Whatever you will need to take with you when you go to live and work on old Seva's farm. And learn to be a farmer. Well, you see where I'm sitting. Now that I'm an old man, my fingers too gnarled to hold a pen for Solomon. I sit under the shade of a fig tree on my son Hesed's farm. He has prospered year after year. He has fine sons, fine cattle. But above all, he lives and he is happy. But perhaps now you can see, too, why I I could not understand Solomon's judgment in that trial. At first. And why I'm very glad now that at last I did.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Attorney Edgar J. Nathan III, Chairman of the Committee on the Domestic Relations Court of the Association of the Bar of the City of New York and a trustee of the historic congregation Sherith Israel, New York City. Mr. Nathan.
It is an accepted principle of Anglo-American law that justice must be freely available to all persons, regardless of rank. The biblical story of Solomon's judgment, which we have just heard dramatized, illustrates the concept that even the meanest and lowest citizen must have ready access to the king for impartial justice. This basic tenet of our democratic society has not been accepted through much of history, and certainly is not now accepted in many parts of the world. Such a recognition of the importance of the individual was a most advanced concept in the days of Solomon. Yet, it was not surprising to find its earliest expression in the acts of a Jewish king in ancient days. For it was the biblical teaching that man is created in the image of God, and that, therefore, in every human being there is a divine spark, and that every human life is sacred and of infinite worth. That concept of the dignity of man was one of the great contributions to our civilization. It is our obligation to remind ourselves of this heritage of our forefathers, as was done for us by the author and actors in today's program. The citizenry must always be alert to safeguard the availability of equal justice for all, and to see that our judicial system is properly administered by our chosen officers. At the same time, those delegated with the powers of public office must continually remember the story of King Solomon, who in his majesty believed that the welfare of the least of his subjects was worthy of whatever time and thought were required to see justice done. These are fundamental requirements of the survival of a democratic life, for no such way of life is possible without all of us, both those in public and private life, expressing in our daily actions our recognition of the dignity of man.
Thank you, Mr. Nathan. Our eternal light drama today, The Trial of the Two Mothers, was written by Johanna Johnston. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Carl Weber as Ahijah, Bernard Linrow as Solomon, and Santos Ortega as Benaiah. Others in the cast were Elia Bracca, Athena Lord, Ida Reese Merrin, Martin Newman, Guy Repp, Sarah Fussell, and Bill Lipton. Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Boutsas. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.